In all of history, only one human has possessed the authority of both a king and a priest. You need to know who this man is. He is a sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Learn more about this sign next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Let me tell you about something that I hope will get your attention. The only human king priest ever on this earth happened recently, but it's not about a man. It's about much more than that. It is a sign of to really show us how imminent the return of Jesus Christ is on this earth, and it illuminates the second coming as I believe no single event ever has. Of course, there are many thousands of king, priest, and embryo on this earth. Your Bible tells you that. And this also brings them into the spotlight and shows how soon they're going to be here. And many other thousands will be resurrected at that time. So this is an event that is really the great hope of the Bible, the great hope that we talk about all the time. There are terrifying events unfolding on this earth. Many serious problems, and the world is filled with hopelessness. And it's really because most people don't really want to understand their Bible, or don't seem to, because they turn away from God's truth all too often. 90% of God's prophecies are being fulfilled at this very time on this earth. 90% of them, and there's going to be unparalleled suffering before all of the good news comes. But in spite of what men do, God is going to bring the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth and give us leaders to replace all of the bad leadership on this earth and rule this world God's way. Notice Revelation 1 and verse 6 reads this way, and the subheading there is the revelation of John the Divine. Now that shows you that writers of the Bible in commentaries and Bible study aids and the like don't know the Bible the way they should in most cases. So it says the revelation of Saint John the Divine. But look, it says verse 1 here, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave to him. And then Jesus Christ gave it to an angel, and then an angel gave it to John, and that's how we got it. But you would think the translators didn't get that message. Verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And then on down in verse 3, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You're blessed if you do that, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed if you read and if you hear, and if you keep and apply what you understand here. God says you are richly blessed. And I know that to be true. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And then it goes on down to verse 6 where it says, and from Jesus Christ, who has made us kings and priests, has made us kings and priests. Notice that, past tense. He has made us his loyal people, kings and priests, already in embryo, yet to be born. But this is putting them in the spotlight now and showing that they're going to be born very soon. And I'm talking about, well, in less than a decade, as I calculate, and I'll talk more about that momentarily. But verse 6 says, has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this is past tense. And the people that are mentioned here are going to share the throne with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Those loyal to him, those first fruits that are called out and obey God before the second coming. But those kings and priests have been prepared as the very bride of Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest reward there is in the Bible. I mean, you really are rewarded if you give yourself to Jesus Christ today and get prepared to help him rule the earth and then the universe after that. Thousands of kings and priests are on this earth in embryo, and many thousands more are going to be resurrected when Christ returns, because they were loyal to Christ also, and they're going to rise in the air even before those that are on the earth. And all of them that will then rise and be with Jesus Christ and return with him when he comes to this earth. And they will help him put down all of the opposition and the warriors that are fighting against him. So you can see that this sheds a great light on those people who are kings and priests in embryo. They are going to be king priests, not in human form, but in as God beings, sons of God. That's what it's all about, and that's what the human king priest is spotlighting and putting in the spotlight so people can see and understand if they choose to do so. Now we will send you a booklet on Zechariah, and it will explain something I'm getting into here today, in part anyhow. But I want to talk to you about Joshua's dual crown. Why would Joshua have a dual crown? Well, notice Zechariah 6 and verse 10, where it talks about take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai and Tobijah and Gedaliah, which are come from Babylon, and come you the same day and go into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns. Well, of course, anciently that was done differently, but today he's talking spiritually, that there's going to be a dual crown here, just like Joshua received. And an end time type of Joshua is going to receive that dual crown. And it just illuminates everything about the second coming of Christ as a king and priest, and those kings and priests that will share his throne and help him rule the world. And it's getting very, very close. Notice verses 11 and 12. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaks the Eternal of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, or Christ, all in caps, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So here you have a crown, a dual crown, put on the head of Joshua, and let me tell you, that is unique in the Bible. It only happens to one man on this earth, and somebody else I'll mention momentarily, but not a human being. We could not have understood this prophecy before we received the new stone and new throne revelation that God gave us, and we'll send you my booklet on the new throne of David to explain all that to you. And it's the most inspiring booklet, I believe, that I have ever written. And it has the most wonderful hope that you could possibly imagine. But who is Joshua? Well, the Zechariah booklet will explain that to you. And I don't have time to get into that today, but this is a righteous Joshua type, or a lawful Joshua type. And this human king and priest today is given a dual crown. A dual crown. It's about a king and it's about a priest. It's about rulers over church and state in the coming world tomorrow, the wonderful world tomorrow. That's the kind of ruler's going to be. And it will bring peace and joy and happiness to this earth forever and ever and ever. That is taught throughout your Bible. So we'll give you all kinds of information to help you understand this wonderful truth. But Joshua is just a type that God is using to let us see about those king, priests, and embryo, and those who've died in the past in that same state. God wants to put the spotlight on those people and make those first fruits see those who come out and help Christ before his second coming. God wants us to see what a great and awesome reward he's going to give those people. It is something that is truly electrifying if we understand it. And we do have to read and hear, as John said, and then keep these wonderful words, and God says you will be blessed immensely for it. That is a promise from God. I'm telling you, it is a wonder, the wonder of all wonders. But it also says here in the Moffat translation that, well, it talks about Christ growing up. It really would be better translated, he shall flourish where he is rooted. So God is going to make him flourish, and we're going to flourish with him. And we're going to grow and have all of that joy that Jesus Christ has. But I wrote here in our New Throne of David booklet, what does out of place mean? Out of literally means the lower part, that which is below, beneath, or under. According to Gesenius Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon, it means that Christ or his throne is going to move from a lower place to a higher place, a spiritual place. That throne of David has recently been moved from a lower place. It was in London, England. It's no longer there. I'm telling you, it is not there, and you can prove that to yourself. It's moved to a spiritual place, God says. So that throne can be prepared and gotten ready, and already we're in the first stage of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're on the countdown to the very coming of Christ. And he has to have that throne prepared for him when he gets here. He will have it no other way, and he wants it to be in a lawful place and what he would call a righteous place. But you have to remember, this is not just David's throne. This is the very throne of God. Where is that throne today? We know that God promised to David that that throne would always be here, and there would never lack a man to sit on that throne. Never. Right up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's an absolute promise in your Bible. And we need to understand it because it is the most inspiring and the greatest hope in the Bible. That's the truth, and you can get that from your own Bible. If you read Revelation 1 verse 6 that I just told you about, you can see that these people are already kings and priests. The process is already well on its way. God is very positive about that, and he wants you to be positive about that. We wrote in the booklet, it was a thing before unknown in the Levitical priesthood that the same person should wear at once the crown of a king and that of a high priest. That was unknown in the Levitical priesthood and unknown anyplace else until it gets to Joshua. But that really is a prophecy only for this end time, because it's getting ready and and preparing us for the second coming of Jesus Christ, the ultimate king and priest. But there will be many thousands and thousands of other kings and priests sitting on that throne with him, sharing it with him, and ruling the earth, and then after that, the entire universe. That's the highest reward that God ever gives anybody, according to your Bible. Notice verse 12 of Zechariah 6, it says, "Behold the man." And that's really referring to, I think, John 19, verse 5, where Pilate unconsciously spoke God's will concerning Christ when he said, "Behold the man." That's what one commentary says, and I believe that's true. The JFB commentary states that. That commentary also states the sense here is, behold, in Joshua, a remarkable shadowing forth of the Messiah, the commentary says, and that's right. This is all about shadowing forth the Messiah. It is not for Joshua's own sake that the crown is placed on him, but as a type of the Messiah about to be at once king and priest, but also about all the other kings and priests. They're going to be sharing that throne with him, all of those people who were loyal and obedient to him throughout the ages, and those here alive when he gets here. This does foreshadow all of this. And we're in the final phase already, the final phase of David's throne. And it's being used in the most special way it ever has been to get it ready for Jesus Christ's coming. Now, the foreshadow, I think, is not the best word. It almost puts a blinding light on the second coming and all of those kings and priests that God is now preparing in this end time. They're now being prepared to sit on a throne with Jesus Christ and solve all the horrific problems of this world. Look around at what's happening. You know, I think if you're honest, that men can't solve these problems. Christ said it would be that way and warned us that there would be no flesh saved alive if he didn't intervene and stop it. That's Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. But we're in a preliminary stage to the world tomorrow, right now. Now, there is one other place in the Bible where you see a king and a priest, and it is the Melchizedek of the Old Testament, the one who became Jesus Christ. He was the God of the Old Testament. You can read in Hebrews 6, verse 20, and Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 3, that Melchizedek was the one that became Christ. So there's only two references to the king-priest crown in the Bible. One is that of Melchizedek, God of the Old Testament, the one who became Jesus Christ. And then there is just one that was recently created on this earth, a human king priest, which is a type of all those king priests that are going to share the throne with Christ. It's such an enormous, wonderful, exciting, majestic, brilliant reward that God wants to give us if we'll prepare now and fight the battle now for His truth and keep it, unlike what 95% of God's people have done today. They've turned away from it. That is abominable to God. Once you have it, God says, "Well, now read and hear and keep or apply, and I will bless you like you've never been blessed before." It's an absolute, total promise from God. Now, that's great news. And there is a silver and a gold crown. It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or Priest of Priests. So there is, in this end time crown, it's silver and gold, the kings being number one and the priest in this case being secondary. But again, you have this being that receives that crown, this human being, that he worked, it says that there in that scripture that he works in harmony with Jesus Christ. He works in harmony with Him. I tell you, if we understand this, and you'll see just a little bit more about it here, but you're going to understand, really understand, what born again is all about. This is about kings and priests and embryo, and then how they're going to be born at one time as a nation. As a nation, Isaiah 66 in verses 5 and 6 and 7. How could that be, that they're going to be born as a nation and people don't even really know about it? They don't understand the greatest prophecies in the Bible, and they don't understand the greatest events unfolding on this earth today that were prophesied in your Bible. This is all at the door, and God is making this all more real to us, and we need to understand that. Well, I'm going to have to move along here pretty fast, but to conclude this. What is this all about, and what does it mean for you? Well, God goes on in Zechariah 6 and verse 15 and talks about if you diligently obey, but what it's really talking about is that word obey means to give your undivided attention to God in listening to Him and hearing His word and then keeping that word. That's what it really means. Isaiah 66 and verse 5, let me read that to you. Hear the word of the Eternal, you that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake, and let the Lord be glorified, but He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Now that's a prophecy for the end time. That's the 95% of God's people that cast out those who were loyal to God. That happened in God's own church. Verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, and she was delivered of a man-child. Talking about Jesus Christ being born into this world as a little baby. But it's a type of what is going to happen to us, and we're going to be born into God's family, and it's really very, very much like a little baby being born. It's the same process in a sense. So God's church gave birth to the Jesus Christ anyhow in the first century or shortly before. Verse 8 says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Who's ever heard of that? You've never heard of that. A nation being born in a day at once. Who has ever heard of that? That's the most wonderful truth you could ever hear. You talk about being born again, that's being born again. These kings and priests and embryo are going to be born all of a sudden in a day. And who has ever heard of such a thing? But the trouble is, who really believes that? This is what God says, and it's going to happen. And it's already in the process of happening in many ways. And as God wants to spotlight His end time coming and all of these events like that, and He just wants to illuminate every one of them so we can see and understand this beautiful, beautiful truth and how wonderful it is. And then you can go on and read in Revelation 19 where you can see that Christ bride has made herself ready, and He returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or Priest of Priests. He has that King-Priest crown, and He's giving that to all of those first fruits that obey Him before His second coming. And He's going to give them the most wonderful reward you can imagine, and they're going to be prepared to help Christ rule this earth and bring it peace and joy and happiness. Now, who has ever heard of such a thing? Well, it's there in your Bible, and it is profusely illustrated, and we need to understand it. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
In all of history, only one human has possessed the authority of both a king and a priest. You need to know who this man is. He is a sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The prophet Zechariah wrote about Joshua's dual crown. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Zechariah, The Sign of Christ's Imminent Return, to learn about two end-time churches of God. Learn about the one true church that is doing God's work. God has placed a king priest with a dual crown in the midst of this loyal remnant of saints. This church has built a majestic physical house of God, a symbol of fulfilled prophecy, which proves that God's master plan always prevails. That royal house is a symbol of endless hope. God's government rules with his church and is about to rule all mankind and bring joy to the universe forever. But Zechariah also wrote about another church that has failed to do God's work. Understand the cause of its failure. Discover the one key difference between the loyal church and the rebellious church. God gives his loyal church today a physical type of the king-priest positions they will fill for all eternity. Request our free booklet, Just What Do You Mean, Born Again? To understand your purpose here on earth, discover the true value of your physical existence. Realize how you can become a king priest in embryo, about to inherit a spiritual position of limitless power. The Bible tells of a spiritual nation soon to be born in an instant. Learn what must be done to be a part of that awesome nation. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request Zechariah, The Sign of Christ's Imminent Return, and Just What Do You Mean, Born Again? Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request Zechariah, The Sign of Christ's Imminent Return, and Just What Do You Mean, Born Again? Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.